That's for Ralph. That's the intro. It was really, really well done.
Welcome, everybody.
Done. That was Wagon Wheel for you.
Yes, one of my favorites, especially down here in sunny Florida.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Podcast number 10.
Here we are.
We made it to the double digits.
Yeah, and that was okay. I wasn't my best.
That
one.
Was not your best ukulele for our but, you know, big
the,
podcast.
The cool thing is it that's the kind of whole cool thing about it is I'm not awesome. That's why
no,
I play
you're
it.
Not.
Hey. So
we have a very special guest.
Good morning, everybody. Yes, on the number 3 mic is Mr. Ralph Russo.
Hello, everyone.
He's being so shy right now.
You guys have probably heard us talk about Ralph a bunch of times, but here he is in the flesh. You can't see him, but you can hear him. Number 3 on the microphone, number 1 in your hearts.
Ladies, this one's for you.
No, so we actually wanted to have Ralph join us because he's here in town for the week.
Yes, I am.
And
all the way from New York.
From New York City.
Pride, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. Pride out of New York City. Pride out of the spotlight.
Pride. Yeah. I don't know what that means, but it sounds good.
Yeah. Whatever.
Tell everybody about yourself. We've
you're
talked
so,
about
you're
you.
You're so
on
nervous
show.
Right now.
I was taken away from my computer. I'm usually used to being in front of the computer screen working, but I was. Told that I will be joining the podcast.
I love how you're kind of nervous.
It's really nothing to be nervous about. It's really only Jake's dad that
I'm not
listens.
Nervous. It's just I usually don't talk in a microphone for long periods of time.
No?
I don't have the background that
no,
Megan has.
No, you haven't given any you know, best man speeches or anything?
I have. I wouldn't even last an hour doing that.
Really? I would
seconds.
See you being so good at something like that.
I have done it. I've done it and been complimented on it before, but it took months in preparation. I literally did not think I was going to be doing this today.
Have you given a speech like a best woman's or what, maid of
yes,
honor speech?
Yes, I have. Yeah. I have. Yes.
Was it
of
good?
Of course.
How long was that one?
Are you kidding me? Even when I'm bridesmaid number 7, I'm like, I'd like to say a few words, please. For those of you who don't know me.
How many speeches have you given at those things?
I've spoken at one wedding and then one funeral. So one good one and one sad
spoke,
one.
Oh, oh,
right
yes,
at Jenna's funeral.
Okay.
Of course, I always have to talk good or bad.
I've done one speech, and it was at like a rehearsal dinner. I didn't even get to do the whole.
Oh, you were gypped.
No.
You know what's funny is
I killed it.
I actually get more nervous talking in front of more people that I can see than anything that I do with this or on camera and stuff.
Wait, so you just get nervous talking about in front of more people?
Yeah, like the more people that see me, the more nervous it makes me. But then like when I do the TV show stuff, I don't even think about it.
I have to give a talk or a speech or keynote or something at the end of September.
Where?
There's a supplement company called Real Dose. They have some really good stuff. And they had asked me to talk and to give a speech on how I did the alternative daily. And so
and you know, it's funny about that because I've done speeches in front of large crowds and it's easier when you're prepared. Megan, you're the opposite.
Yeah, I really don't like to be prepared. I'm much better this way.
So that's us. Here we are, the 3 of us.
That's our intro check. What's the next thing we're talking about?
This is the morning zoo that we're doing right now. No, well, thanks everybody for tuning in. This is actually episode number 10.
It's very exciting.
This is X. Yep. And so we actually have a bunch of things we want to talk about. We are giving away today, or this week, whatever you want to call it. We are giving away an Apple Watch.
That's crazy.
I don't even have one of these things.
I don't have a Vitamix. I don't have a Cuisinart. I don't have a Yeti cooler. I have the alternative daily hat, okay?
Your iPhone has an extremely slashed screen.
I know.
But,
it's mosaic.
It's mosaic, yes.
So this week we're actually going to be giving away a Apple Watch. I'd really like to have one, but I don't.
Because we can only afford one, so we're giving it away.
That's right. So we can only afford one. And so, Ralph, you're not even wearing a watch, are you? Megan, you are.
I'm wearing a watch.
But the funny thing is, Megan, you actually do, you know, on your spare time when you're not working full-time.
Something of a watch expert.
You actually sell watches like on QVC or Home Shopping Network?
I sell watches on a home shopping type program.
Explain that to me. Explain that to people who
shopping
are completely,
type
yeah.
Program.
What does that mean?
What program?
I don't want to talk about it. This is the stuff that makes me shy. But I do. I work for a company. It's the largest distributor in North America online for watches, and it's the fourth largest in the world.
When you're not working for the alternative.
When I'm not talking about my life. Style and all the healthy things.
What do they say about the Apple Watch?
We actually don't sell the Apple Watch, of course. That's just
what do they say about it? Because I'm sure
it's amazing. My co-host on the show has an Apple Watch.
Oh, really?
It's really cool. It really is like wearing a phone on your wrist, but it's tiny and it can do really cool things. Like it's a great fitness tracker.
Yeah.
So that's really fun. And it's sort of like it'll alert you if you like go too far from your phone and stuff. So it's probably not the best thing.
I just found out that the iPhones actually have pedometers in them.
Yeah, my mom uses it.
I didn't know that.
Uh-huh. It's great to get your 10,000 steps a day.
Ralph had no clue. How many steps do you think you get a day?
I haven't tried calculating that. Okay. Being in New York City in a small apartment, dealing with February winters, it would probably be 5 steps. 5 steps daily.
Ugh.
But I am obviously transitioning away from that type of...
Yeah, that's going to change. You're going to come down here and be a Floridian.
Yep, exactly.
Just like everybody else from New York that lives down here.
Oh, and great.
Sorry, Jake.
I started my morning today with a walk on the beach.
That's awesome.
Yep.
And then... You know, the one thing I actually got Ralph to do, we can actually talk a little bit about this, is we're going to go off script, as we always do. Actually took Ralph for one of his first massages in a long time.
Wow.
Yesterday.
How was that?
I thought it was awesome. We didn't go together. We weren't in the same room.
Where's this going?
No, he enjoys it. I'm obviously a big proponent of it, a huge stress reliever and everything, but Ralph did it.
Yeah, I did. Again,
did you like it?
Me away from my computer.
Did you like it?
I liked it. You kind of have to stop thinking about everything that you have to do for for the day's task.
That's
but,
the point.
I know. Ralph I'm not used to that.
For everybody listening, Ralph's a workaholic. And to have him stop for a little bit to do things like this podcast. He wanted to bring your computer out here and do some work while he was talking. And no.
I was strictly told to put my computer away before I jumped on the mic.
So massages are great. Do you get one?
I do get massages.
How often? Like once a week? Or
No. I try and get one like once every 4 to 6 weeks. I get facial. That's why I had a facial yesterday. I treat myself very well.
Your body's a temple.
Yes, my body is a temple. Amen.
I'm a huge fan of them. I'm obviously a big proponent if you can get a 90-minute massage. I mean, just the more the better, right?
Why not?
Just stay longer. But it was, I love it. I go like once a month.
You know what's great? I was actually just talking about this with somebody. And for those of you listening out there, I mean, it might sound like an extravagant thing to do, but actually a good tip if you want to get more massages or more beauty treatments or whatever is look up in your community the local like Avedas or the Beauty Schools of America because they're pretty much in every city. And you can get like a $40, 60-minute massage.
Yeah.
So it's not something that you have to go to, you know, like a 5-star resort for.
You know, I've always wondered what it's like if you were to date or marry or be friends with a masseuse. Like, do they just give it to you like all the time? Is it just like, I'm laying down. Here's
Isn't that the same thing as being married to a chef?
Yeah. I don't know. Do you know anybody that's a masseuse? Or
no,
massage
I wish.
Therapist,
I wish.
Say.
I'm sure that's the last thing they probably want to be doing when they're not at work.
I was just
thinking,
like, you're sitting there for 90 minutes or whatever, and this person's just like rubbing you the entire time.
And then and they do it like 10 times a day.
Yeah. And I'll share something pretty gross. So I wear sandals all the time. So my heels are just dry and cracked.
Mine are too.
Mine are way worse.
I have I use a prescription thing for my heels.
Oh,
you need to be
using coconut oil. No, I won't use that. Mine are bad. Here, I'll show them to you. It's
kind of
gross.
Oh, yours are worse than mine.
Yeah, they're bad. So I always have to like give them a heads up, like, oh, you know, I wear sandals. Just be careful when you get down there. Don't, you know, get thrown off.
But then you hear them putting the gloves on.
Yeah. So it's good. So there's definitely a lot of stress relief that comes with massages. If you go get one, go get another one. If you don't get them, try it out. I was actually surprised. Ralph, you were kind of against it for a little bit. You were kind of like, I don't know if I want to do this. But
it's not about being against it. It's more so...
He can't bring his laptop in the room.
Yeah, no. Exactly.
Because you have that little hole underneath there. You can kind of look at it.
He's like trying to text.
Yeah. So we went and got some massages. That's great.
Well, aren't you girls just having a great vacation?
Doing it up. Yeah. We're going to get our hair did later. But the first topic we actually want to talk about here is pet peeves. And it's funny. This was not on the script earlier.
Yeah. Did something happen this morning that you wanted to talk about?
I'll share mine right now.
Oh, here we go.
So we were sitting there. Like, you know, Ralph was on his computer. I was doing some stuff. And I just heard, and I look over, and Ralph is chewing his gum.
Oh, no.
And so my pet peeve is when people are chewing gum or, like, chewing with their mouth open. Sorry, Ralph. I mean, I love you.
I have no pet peeves. I'm accepting of everyone for who they are.
I like it.
That's exactly what it is.
So Megan and I are going to be the nasty ones. No, but, like, honestly, you're not the problem. Like, it's me who has the problem because I have the pet peeve. It's not you. It's me, right? And just obviously, I'm trying to work on that. But there's three people that I say that are never allowed to chew gum in front of me. You're one now.
That was the other thing I was not allowed to bring to the podcast.
Yeah. They made him get rid of his gum.
my sister's fiance, Lauren, she she chews gum very loudly, and
we love you, Lauren.
And it's very loud. And then the third is my dad. It's all you guys chew with your mouth open the gum. I don't get it. I know it's me. I know.
But you're definitely not the only person that has said that to me or has put restrictions on what.
But you know
consume.
What? The funny thing, like Ralph just looks so happy as he's sitting there chewing away on it. I'm just working away, and I feel so bad that I give him a dirty look. But it's just that just.
You could probably gauge what email I'm on when I'm on my computer by how hardly I'm chewing.
The one time
gum.
He actually did it, I looked over and he said, "I'm really munching on it, aren't I?" Who calls chewing gum munching? No, but that's one of my pet peeves. Which one of yours?
My pet peeve, my biggest pet peeve, other than manners, because we talk about this all the time when people don't say please and thank you. That really, really bothers me. My family calls me the please police because I always keep people on their game. But other than that, I would say that my biggest pet peeve is when people are late. I think it's really, really rude.
Uh-oh.
I don't like that. Well, it's okay. I know. I've accepted you and I love you.
I would love to be that person who's like always 15 minutes early and stuff. I can't do it. I just always show up fashionably late. I
hate it.
I'm so
Maybe
sorry.
Maybe not for you as much as, I mean.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
You know, it's terrible. It's another, like this is all just going to be like raining on Jake's parade today. No, it's like even when I go to meet friends and stuff for lunch, I'll be there at 12. Maybe 12:05. I haven't left yet. I'll be there by 12:15.
I'm pretty sure I've gotten those texts.
I'm so terrible. But I have a Trump card, which is a 3-year-old, which that usually kind of can get you out of some things. But like for lunch and meeting a friend when she's not around, it's just, I'm so bad. I'm so bad. I'm selfish. I'm terrible. I'm a horrible human being.
Somebody get this man a piece of gum.
Is this an intervention right now? You guys going to do something to me?
Well, it's kind of perfect talking about your Trump card being a 3-year-old.
Why is that?
Because our next topic.
Oh, that's it. We're done with pet peeves. Okay. Rolling right through there.
No, but this is a good segue.
Okay. We're done. It's just chewing gum. Everything else I can stand.
Do you have others that you want to talk
sure
about?
I'm sure. I could probably give it a whole hour.
Do you want to lay down on the couch? Okay. This is going to be a very long podcast.
That's
today.
It. All right. So go ahead.
Okay. Well, I just really couldn't wait to get to this topic because when I saw the title of, I sent you all an email yesterday and I was telling you, Jake, what I wanted to do in the podcast today. And then, of course, as soon as that was done, I saw this article in the Washington Post. So I re-emailed you and I love it. The title of this article that came out yesterday in the Washington Post was, "It turns out parenthood is worse than divorce, unemployment, and even the death of a partner." So nothing made me more excited than sending it to my boss, who has a 3-year-old. According to a study that was done by two researchers in Germany, on average, the effect of a new baby on a person's life in the first year is devastatingly bad. And of course, it said it's worse than divorce, unemployment, and even the death of your spouse. And the study actually started 2 years. They followed over 2,000 German couples. And the study began until at least 2 years after the birth of their first child.
Wow.
And it turns out that first to second year after the baby is born is really, really, really hard.
Sure.
They said that people were really happy when they were pregnant or trying to have a baby and all of that. And then as soon as the kid was born, or children if they had twins, up until the first 2 years, it was pretty crappy.
You know, this is something that's not often talked about and a lot of people don't share their true feelings. It's something I think I've maybe been way too honest with has been my feelings for it. You know, when you have a child, it's awesome. It's beautiful. Some people call it miracles. You know, some people just call it science. Some people just do, you know, atom splitting off.
Some people call it a Friday night gone horribly wrong.
But it is, it's, as I said before, like my father-in-law looked at me when we were going in for labor. He wasn't going into labor.
See, who was in the bed?
He had the stirrups on. No, and he said, "Your life is going to change forever." You know, and it was just like, and you kind of hear that and you're like, "Oh, that's kind of cool, blah, blah, blah." But it's so true. And I was just talking to a friend about this yesterday when he asked me, was like, you know, "Would you have waited longer to have a child?" And I was like, "Well, that's so, you can't ask that. I would never change anything, right?" But it was such a shock, right? Because we had moved, we were, you know, living on our own, just us. I was starting to get this really kind of just, I don't want to say fun routine. Like, I'm not saying anything bad about my current routine, but as you know, I was surfing every day. I was diving every day. Like, I was out the beach. I was just like, there was literally no responsibilities. Then you have a child and that stops. And it doesn't, like a lot of people think, like, it doesn't have to stop. You can do whatever you want. And you know, and I was even somebody who thought, you know, I'm just going to have, you know, Noah or my baby, whatever, just kind of, we'll still go to the beach every day, and she'll just, we'll just throw up on the beach and put her in the shade, and we'll still surf and stuff like that. But it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen.
It's not
the case. And to be honest, it's like, it's really hard. It's because it's a whole, not the whole like loving the child thing, because that's kind of like a separate thing. It's like all these different little things in it. But it's just like a complete lifestyle change. Like you go to the gym for 2 hours a day, man. If when you pop out your baby in 8 months, should we tell everybody you're pregnant now?
Yeah, surprise. We're just kidding. I'm having a food baby. Actually.
No, because when you have a child, you're not going to be able to go to the gym for 2 hours and then do all these different things. And it's hard. And so what actually what happens is you kind of end up rebelling. And so there's a lot of kind of, you know, there's actually a lot of science behind this between like postpartum depression, whether it's for the male or the female, and it happens. And it's, I don't want to say that I went through it, but it was definitely hard. And Dr. Josh and I talk about this all the time of like, here you are, like before you had the baby, there's no living human in your house screaming and crying for no reason. And then something switches when you have a baby that there is, and you're not ready for that. So you actually have to deal with a screaming human in your face, and you have no clue why they're screaming, and just dealing with that. It's very tough. And stress levels rise, anxiety levels rise. And sometimes you literally have to tell your partner, the best thing to say is give the baby to somebody else as your stress levels rise and stuff, because it's so hard. And with, I guess, comparing that to death, divorce, and all these other things, there's nothing like it. I mean, there's nothing like it. It's definitely, it's literally a roller coaster. I was just telling somebody the other day that the best thing I can explain, like saying roller coaster is also cliche and cheesy, but you know, for owning my own company, there's definitely like, you know, there's, it's manic, right? Mm-hmm. It's things are really good. You know, oh my gosh, what about this? I got to worry about this. And that's the same thing with having a child. Like all parents are like little mini entrepreneurs, because now you're just given this thing and there's no directions and you just got to keep it alive and you're trying to keep it happy and you're trying to keep it healthy. And it's tough. So
you think the article makes some great points?
It makes some great points. Yeah. I mean, I can't tell you that I would prefer somebody else die than having another child, but it's hard. It's harder than a lot of people think. Now, then you have just a few stories. Like we have one other friend who just had a baby, and he goes to sleep at 7:30, sleeps till 7:30, and it's just like, you know, no crying and stuff like that. We didn't have that.
Right.
Now I also had a very, very, I had a traumatic birth. No, Gina actually had a very, very traumatic birth. My daughter came 5 weeks early, premature. Wow. Yeah. And she was 5 pounds. And we were very, very lucky. She didn't have to go into the NICU at all. But it's, you know, it's just, I have such, like, I guess you could say, you had, just to go through it, you have such a more appreciation for mothers and just parenting altogether when you see kind of the worst of the worst. And I saw like a lot of bad things. It was so, I mean, just because we actually had to go into the hospital like, you know, 2 or 3 times before that, because there was some emergency that we had, and emergencies, you know, kind of just like bleeding in the middle of the night. Mm-hmm. Right. And when we actually went in, she's in the other room, so I don't know if she can come out here and yell at me for all this stuff, but the night that we went into the hospital, it wasn't like you see on movies, like, oh my gosh, she's in the back like huffing and puffing, and we were driving, and so, you know, there was blood all over the bed, there's blood all over the floor. And I remember getting in the truck, and you know, I had a truck at the time. We did put a towel down. She was like, put a towel. I'm like, I don't care. And I specifically remember being at a stoplight, and I was just going to be like the typical guy, I'm just going to blow through it. And she's like, don't. I'm like, why? She's like, there's a cop right there. I'm like, I don't care, I can explain. She was like, I know that you can explain it to him, but it's going to take us a whole lot longer. Yep. To go through that whole process than, uh-huh, just to sit here. And I was like, oh God, why are you being so practical right now while you're, you know, bleeding? And so, so then we went to the hospital, and long, very, very, very long story short, 2 days later, in the middle of the night, we actually had to have an emergency, birth, and, everything's fine after that. We've been so lucky. So
yes.
it was such, I mean, literally, I was looking at that night that I had compared to like maybe 9 months prior to that, it was not the same. Like, it's just like, so life completely changes. So some people aren't ready for that life change. Some people are just so stuck into kind of being there. It's not selfish ways. It might be, but I don't think it's bad. But it's so unselfish to have a child that you literally have to just get used to it. Cause I was an extremely selfish person. I didn't realize I was selfish. And so I was like, wait a second. I can't do this now. I can't do that now. So, so from birth, from zero or whatever that is till about, I would say two and a half, was kind of just like, you know, what do I do? Now we're on a little bit of a routine. She's, you know, she's walking about, but now we're getting into the three-nager phase, which is, you know, tantrums for no damn reason. But yeah, I wouldn't compare it to those, but it's so hard. And I don't think, And I think it actually helped me more so than anybody else just to talk about it with people. Like I talked to Dr. Josh about it, talked to other dads. And sometimes you talk to other dads and they were like, I don't know what you're talking about. We're like, okay, either you're the perfect dad or you don't want to talk about it. But it was just so, so hard.
I think it's important that, I think it's important that you're able to say though, and that a lot of people are able to say that, yeah, it is this amazing thing, but it also really sucks and it's really hard because I mean,
waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning, it's not fun. Nobody wants to do that.
Yeah, it sounds terrible sometimes. But of course, it's like this amazing thing. But I think most people think that the politically correct thing to do is to say that it's wonderful and, oh, it's so great because they're afraid, do I sound like a bad parent? Yeah, do I sound like I don't love my child if I say, you know what, this is really hard?
Yeah.
I have a girlfriend. I'm friends with a couple. A lot of my friends are starting to have kids, but I have a good girlfriend that just had a baby, and her husband live right down the street from me. So I've been spending some time with them. And she's so amazing because she's literally like, it's really hard. This isn't that fun. Yeah. I don't know what I'm doing sometimes. Breastfeeding hurts. This is that. And it's like, I was joking with her because I was saying, I appreciate so much that it's not like she's scaring me or something,
right.
But it's like, I want to hear that, not my girlfriends that are like, oh, you know, it's wonderful. Right. And like, yeah, he's getting along so well. And we're doing this and we're doing that. I want to talk to my girlfriend that's like, this freaking is not fun sometimes.
It's funny. Dr. Josh and I were talking about the, like everybody puts like the beautiful pictures on Facebook of the babies, just like bows in their hair, mm-hmm. just like, you know, smiling. He's like, nobody else puts like the reality of like them crying. So I will like occasionally throw up a picture of like Noah crying, or I'll send them to people. She does, like even just like on the way to school, just like bawling the entire time. Like, this is not what people put on Facebook, but this is real life. So
when my girlfriend Alana had her son, they did those little like newborn photo shoots, you know? And it was so funny because the photos are so cute, but in reality, she was telling me, like, they have this one where he's, you know, like little naked laying
on a
little thing. And she's telling me that in reality, like, they got that shot, but then like 2 seconds later, he was just peeing everywhere because he's a baby without a diaper. And so it's like, you never see stuff like that. I know it's something for different people.
It's a pet peeve of mine, those little pumpkin shots or whatever. It's like the baby's just born, they put him in a pumpkin, or they put like the bow, like the baby doesn't have any hair and they put a bow on it. What the hell is that bow going to do? Again, I'm a terrible person.
But you are a terrible person.
I don't like those like newborn shots like immediately. It's like, that's not real life. I'm like, you know, she should, whatever.
Why are you photoshopping your baby?
I'll leave the traumatic stuff out of it. Like when I first saw Noah, I mean, she was literally blue. It's just like when they first come out.
Oh, they look like aliens.
It's just like blue. Yeah.
Ralph, do you have something to share? Being that you are,
very
as
single.
Far as you know, not a father.
I'm not a father, no. But I will say this. Me and Jake used to talk close to every single day before and after birth from a work standpoint. Yeah. And let me tell you, I saw a transformation because when he was stressed out, I could never think before that Jake would ever be stressed out.
Yeah.
He was never stressed.
Oh, it was,
he meditated. I mean, he was good. Afterbirth? Oh, man.
But at least you got your pre-baby body back.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, there's actually a while even after that between like the no... Like a lot of people talk about how they put on weight right afterwards. Mm-hmm. Like with no sleeping, like your whole schedule's messed up. I actually lost a lot of weight. But it was like... Yeah, it's just your life gets thrown.
No, I will say, though, too, I mean, the benefits, I have a big family, 5 sisters. I got 8 nieces and nephews.
Oh, my gosh.
So I'm well prepared. I'm well prepared.
You just take one of those kids.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm good.
But
I'm
I will say, right now. Other than time, how it got better, but literally just going back to my meditation and when I did have time to do it, going and finding time to do it because it was just my mind was running crazy. So that's really what got me. And just staying healthy, eating healthy, like trying not to get thrown off because I knew it'd be so between like obviously not sleeping, but even though our schedule was going off, it'd be easy to just like, all right, just let me hot dog. You can just throw in a microwave. It's really quickly and eat. And like, we didn't do that. So it was important just to kind of keep healthy, keep meditating and just kind of, Joe, who works on our staff, we talk about some things sometimes, and she was saying how sometimes you just gotta, it's an old Buddhist saying, which is chop wood and carry water. That's all you have to do. It's not fun, but if that's your job, you just have to chop wood and carry water. So that's
very wise.
Yeah, so that's what I would say if you're having a baby from 0 to 2, chop wood and carry water.
1 foot in front of the other. All right, well, are we ready to announce the winner of last week's giveaway?
We are.
Last week, we gave away on our podcast a Cuisinart stand mixer, and we were talking about how great this is because for anybody that loves to bake or make healthy desserts in the kitchen, this is something that is a necessity. Now, we've got a lot of submissions.
It's fine.
So we told everybody that they had to write in with their favorite dessert and something that they wanted us to talk about on the podcast.
Yes.
And the winner is?
And the winner is? Julie Williams.
Woo! Congratulations, Julie.
So Julie, her favorite baked meal to make is strawberry rhubarb crunch. Have you tried rhubarb?
Yes, I have tried.
It's like
rhubarb.
Sour.
It's really good.
Is it a vegetable?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And it's pretty, too, because it's like long and hot pink.
Long.
Sorry. This could go anyway.
This could go anyway. So strawberry rhubarb crunch. She should send us that recipe for that. So, Julie, we will actually send you your Cuisinart.
Yeah, I will follow up and email you. And we are going to give away something else, like we talked about an Apple Watch this week.
Yeah, but hold on.
We'll tell you about that in a minute. That's what I was saying.
Okay. Because in all fairness, Julie wanted us to talk about a specific topic.
That's right. And I think this is really cool. Julie wanted us to discuss our thoughts on aliens and UFOs. And we were
super psyched.
Yeah,
this is not a joke. This says right there. So,
we're going to tell you our thoughts now.
So, Ralph, lead off this conversation on aliens. No, seriously. Do you think that there is life forms outside of us terrible human beings?
So when I'm really bored, I tend to always go to YouTube and just watch documentaries on absolute non-important things.
Cool. Yeah. Okay.
Space is one of them. And so you have to also learn that living organisms doesn't have to be walking men.
Right.
It can be anything. It could be algae, you know? So even if we were to find that, I do think that's possible. Mm-hmm. But, you know.
Do you think that there are...
intelligent life forms?
Yeah. Do you think there's anything... Or do you think there's other walking men out there? Get that out of the way.
By definition, when you think of space as infinite, then you would have to assume yes.
Ah. Have you had any encounters?
I have not. Not yet.
Do you wish you had an encounter?
Do I wish? No. Oh. No. But there are definitely sometimes I think someone's an alien. You know what I mean?
You've been to Walmart?
Where are you? Brody's an alien.
Megan.
I believe in aliens, absolutely. I believe in intelligent life forms, yes.
Why?
I just think that there, in the vast universe, there has to be something else out there that I don't want to believe that it's just us on this one little planet. So I believe that there are, maybe they don't look like us.
So it's a hope for you. It's kind of like...
Yeah, I'd like to think that there are. I never want to meet them. I don't want them to come here. But I think that, yeah, in the vast, as Ralph said, infinite space, then definitely there are other life forms and intelligent ones too.
Do you think there's less intelligent ones?
Yeah, like algae, sure.
What makes you smarter than algae?
But also, yes, I think there are life forms, living organisms out there, but I also think that there are other beings that maybe communicate, build things, do things, live a life. Absolutely.
Okay, cool.
And now, I hope that they never come here.
But I will say this.
Scary.
I will. Yeah.
You've watched too many movies.
When you look at the definition of light speed... And yeah, distances between stars.
So this is a very good point, because if you think about this, I don't mean to hijack it, but is this where you
did.
Go for it. I'm sorry.
No, please go.
No, what I was going to say was, a lot of people say, why haven't we actually, you know, seen some? We've been around, you know, we have some great technology. Well, if you look at what we can see, right, mm-hmm. through, and so everybody says, you know, we haven't seen anything yet through telescopes, through all this different data. Based off light speed and all this stuff, now we're going to kind of get into like some really crazy math. By the time some of that data gets back to us, it's like 80 million years mm-hmm. old. Roughly 80 million.
We're looking into the past.
We're looking into the past by so many millions of years, because it takes so long to get, like, even though from like our time, it takes like, whether it's like 2 or 3 years or 5 years or whatever, it's actually exponentially greater by the time, like, by the time we start actually looking out there, it's already in the past. It's crazy.
That's so weird to think about.
Yeah. Yes. So if you think about, like, it's not like time, as you know, it is all like, it's the linear measure of, you know, mm-hmm. between two objects or whatever it's called. I could be wrong, or something like that. Something like that. But like, let's say there's an alien out there, 80 million miles. It's like not happening at the same time when you witness it. It's just crazy to think about.
That
because
is
of,
crazy yeah. to think about.
Yeah. So that's why a lot of people say, you know, how come we haven't seen anything? Because all the data we get back is crazy old.
Yes. Yes. But I will say this, and the point to that though too, because you could search the internet and everyone's got their conspiracy theories about UFOs and aliens. And I would say this, that I do believe it, but for everyone out there listening, try not to. The technology is nowhere near there to start traveling light speed and get into other stars anytime soon. So
wormholes.
if you look at the definition of how to create a wormhole or even to travel to a wormhole, we're thousands of years away. Yeah. So I pass those articles.
See,
in
I don't
regards
think,
to UFOs,
but here's something crazy. This is just something I'm kind of understanding, and I don't mean to get all crazy on people. Is I think there's other ways to access it. And I'm also thinking kind of like when it comes to our minds, our brains, you know, there's just something you could tap in that's not in the physical form, that's in kind of the non-physical form.
Because
you have what's
that.
Called your form world, where everything, me, mm-hmm. you, everything. But there's also the non-form world. You actually have to have a non-form world to make the form world. And because if you actually think, blowing minds again.
I know, I feel like we should have like a hookah and a plate of brownies going around.
Like your body. Brownies. If you think about, Megan, like your body and like the atoms and everything that makes it up, uh-huh. your body, I think, is actually something like 98% empty space.
Yes.
Because if you keep zooming in, like on your skin, and then you get down to like the basic atom levels, there's so much space between each atom or cell or whatever that your body is literally like 90 some odd percent empty space.
But
crazy.
That's
that is so crazy.
So, yeah. So I think in it kind of you start getting into like the metaphysical and all these different things, and I think that's where we find something. But like looking for like something walking,
a little spaceship.
I don't know
or
if you're gonna find it that way. I think there's gonna be something deeper where it's just kind of like you got to tap into something. That's just
what
me.
About like ancient aliens? I that show on TV or just shows like that where they talk about the pyramids or Machu Picchu or these incredible things that were built, you know, thousands and thousands of years ago, and how is it possible, and these things measure up. And I mean, if you watch shows like that, or maybe there are a lot of conspiracy theorists, but they talk about things that previous civilizations, how would they have known right. to do these mathematical equations with, you know, buildings and architecture and fields and yeah. cities.
Well, it's funny, it's we're gonna go right into this. Actually, Ralph just had a call yesterday. There's a what's it called, it's a documentary called Sacred Science.
Mm-hmm.
And so Ralph had a call with these guys about, you know, possibly showing it or doing something for the Alternative Daily. But it's all about people going into like the South, you know, American
yeah.
Little village. And they actually, you know, a few of them get cured of, you know, these really debilitating, you know, diseases. And it all goes into kind of like the ancient, I don't know if it's, you know, Peruvian or Incas or whatever it is, but the ancient Mayans and whatever. I haven't seen the movie yet, but
I just have to note that they did not sponsor this podcast.
They did not, but, hey, but you can go check it out. So there's a lot of like the old natural healing that goes on that people try. But is it stuff like that? I don't know. It's kind of cool to think about, though.
It is cool to think about. So do you believe then in?
I know. I yeah. know. I don't believe. I just know.
All right.
I've never had any like encounters or anything, but to and I don't think it's like alien where we've been. The movies are cool, but you know, I don't think it's anything like that. I'm more of the optimist. I think there's actually more peaceful stuff out there. How could this universe continue to evolve to where it is? How many billion trillion light years old it is? By having something so detrimental as like another society that would want to just kill off another. I think we're learning a lot in this. I think we're learning a lot in this age of the internet with the world, our current world with Earth, because we're starting to learn like of all the really bad shit we're doing.
Yeah.
And
we don't need aliens to come and mess
so,
up the planet.
So, but I think that like other ones out, like, if there are other worlds out there, I tend to err on the side that they're more peaceful.
Feeling. I do have to mention, though, and being the information guy and the guy that actually reads up on global politics, it's the controller of the information. So you got to make sure that information.
Yeah,
is
you
got
to get you got to get your good source of information. It's got to be free. But that's here's where you
politically correct.
No. We talk about the internet. Like, there's really bad stuff on the internet, mm-hmm. right? Really, really bad stuff on the internet. And there's really, really good. You have to, in order to get a true stream of information, you have to have everything in there.
But don't forget how many people on this earth have access to free information.
Correct. That's a very
good
point.
Not many.
Right.
Not many.
Absolutely.
You know, and
so
you
saying so you're saying that the world is actually not evolving and it's diminishing?
No, because 20 years ago we didn't have internet, period. But I would say that there's still a lot more work that needs to be done.
Oh, absolutely. But right. if you think about it in terms of, I mean, let's just take, for example, we talked about those two boys that were lost out in Jupiter, right? Mm-hmm. They actually never did find them. But there was such a huge social media gathering. And I'm not on mm-hmm. the Twitter with the kids.
You're not a tweeter?
But there was such a big big uprising where so many people heard about it. And then, you know, national news picked them up and all these different things. And so they had major, like, guys who had a lot of money actually trying to get planes to go find these kids. And this wouldn't have happened if there was no internet. Now, again, on the flip side, you have some really bad stuff on the internet. But I think just having just it's I think everything's slowly evolving forward. Just my take. Aliens and UFOs, huh?
All right. So, well, wait, congratulations to our winner.
Yeah. So I did ask you guys a question, if you were smarter than Algy. I'm throwing you guys for a loop here. I have a little game that we're going to play.
Okay.
We're going to be calling it Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? I have five questions. You have no clue that I was going to do this.
No, I have no.
I have five questions.
I also don't have a pen, so you can hand us paper.
Guess what? I got plenty here.
Oh, boy.
So here's how we're going to play. This is going to be... I wish I had kind of like a sound person now, because I could play like the Jeopardy thing, but it'll be
when
me.
I move down. We'll
so here's the rules. I have five questions.
Okay.
I'm asking you guys one.
Okay.
You guys are going to write it down, and then I'll get one after you guys are done. We're going to flip it up, and you guys are going to
wait,
tell
me
so
this is essentially me versus Megan? Yeah. I don't like this.
We're friends. Okay. You're going down.
Here we go. And I'm going to keep score.
Okay.
This is Ralph.
Yeah, let's try.
I can keep score. It's fine. Sorry. I think we'll be all right.
No, I'm going to keep score. Okay. All right. It can't be skewed anyway. Megan, Ralph.
All right.
One, two, three, four, five. All right, here we go. Are you guys ready for this? I'm sure everybody at home is like strapped to their seats right now.
People at home are just hanging on for the Apple Watch.
These are questions I got of questions that they ask typical fifth graders on tests.
Okay.
And I know all the answers to these. Okay?
Okay.
Number one.
I have my phone out.
Number one. No, put that phone down. All right. Which of the following states is not part of the Four Corners? New Mexico, Utah, Colorado, Nevada, or Arizona?
Wait, so... Repeat the
states. Which of the following is not part of the Four Corners in the United States?
Are you allowed to tell? Oh, Four Corners of the United States?
Yeah.
Oh, could it be more than one answer?
No.
Which one of the following states is not part of the Four Corners? New Mexico, Utah, Colorado, Nevada, or Arizona? You guys have 5 seconds. Four.
Wait, what?
Three, two, one. Boom. All right. Megan.
I said Utah.
Megan says Utah. Ralph, you say?
Utah.
You say? You just cheated. Wrong.
No.
It's actually Colorado? Nevada.
What?
So you guys did not get any points there.
Okay. That was sad.
So good news is we're all tied up. All right. Question number two. Here we go. What planet is closest to the sun? Venus, Earth, Mercury. Four, three, two.
What do you got?
Don't one. Cheat.
All right. Megan, what do you have?
Mercury.
Ralph.
Same thing. Right here.
Yeah. Good job.
Yay.
We're all tied up. Ding, ding. All right. Question number three.
I'm boycotting that first
Mercury
question,
is not
by the way.
Spelled with a V, you cheater. I'm just kidding.
I love it. All right. Here we go. Number three. Emma has 2 yardsticks. She also has a 12-inch ruler. She laid them end to end in a line. How many feet long is the line?
Bum, bum. Emma has 2 yardsticks and a what?
Emma has 2 yardsticks.
Uh-huh.
She also has a 12-inch ruler. She laid them end to end in a line. How many feet long is a line? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, Ralph, what do you got?
7.
Ralph's got 7 feet.
10.
Ralph wins, 7 feet.
What's a yard again?
A yard is 3 feet.
Right. Oh.
Yeah.
All right. That was good.
So Ralph's up by one. Question number four. What state is the Grand Canyon in?
Arizona.
You can't just blurt it out.
Oh.
You got to write it down.
Well, it doesn't really make a difference.
What do you say, Ralph?
I believe it's Nevada.
You say Arizona?
Uh-huh.
It's Arizona is the answer.
I've been there.
You can't blurt it
out. Sorry. I was just really excited about that one. I hit my buzzer.
You're denied on that one.
No.
Actually, this is cool because guess what?
Now we're tied.
We're tied up.
For the tiebreaker.
Tiebreaker. All right. Do not blurt this out.
I won't.
Do not look at each other. Last question. Carefully is an example of what type of word?
We're looking at each other. Like,
okay. I will give you options.
Okay.
That changes.
Adjective.
Oh.
Noun. Verb. Adverb. Pronoun. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Ralph.
Adverb.
What do you say?
Adverb.
Adverb.
Really?
That's it. Yeah. You guys tie.
All right.
Everybody at home, did you guys get all those?
That was not easy.
That was not easy.
You know what's funny? It reminds me of, I had, that was fun.
Yeah. Thank you. I wish I had like a song to kind of wrap that up.
I have,
you guys tied.
I have a friend. I have a friend and one of my neighbors down in Miami Beach that 2 years ago, she became a citizen. She's from Honduras. And I was helping her study for her citizenship test. And, you know, I mean, it's difficult. It's basically like 10th and 11th grade history. And they ask you all these different things that you have to know. I mean, about the government and about presidents and all this. And it's amazing how I felt like such a jerk because I couldn't remember any of it.
Joe on our team, she actually just became a citizen. And she actually asked us one question, which was, I'm going to sound terrible, but it was like something like, you know, how many laws or Bill of Rights or whatever was on the original Constitution. Like everybody was like
10.
Yeah, just like all made some stuff up. And it was like 2 or whatever. I don't know. I don't know the exact question. I hope everybody's listening. Like,
that
who
doesn't
is this
sound
guy?
Right.
But it was like something like we were all just guessing. She's like, no, it's bam. And we're like, oh my gosh. Yeah. So just if I could edit that, I'm not going to edit that out, but it was something of that sort. Anyways.
The subject of this podcast is just going to be Jake is a terrible person.
Yeah, jeez, I'm not winning any
points.
That's
the email that's going to come out tomorrow from Megan Harris to everybody.
I would tell you that when I got my massage yesterday, the lady who's normally nice and talkative didn't say one word to me. So I think it's just like this kind of aura that's coming off of me.
I think you're great.
Thank you. Wait, what did you say? Something skipped. What did you say? all right. So let's actually go into now of how you can actually win your Apple Watch. So since Ralph and Megan tied, I can't get you guys anything, so there's no winner. So I'm sorry.
So sad.
So to win your Apple Watch, Megan, what do we have to do to get your Apple Watch?
To win the Apple Watch, we're going to give one away. You have to email podcast@thealternativedaily.com.
Yep.
Email us at podcast@thealternativedaily.com. The subject line is Apple Watch. You have to do two things inside the email.
It's so easy, though.
It is so easy. Yeah. It is so easy. I mean, I wanted to make it more difficult, to be honest, but somebody out there is going to win an Apple Watch.
Yep.
So all you have to do is email podcast@thealternativedaily.com. Subject line, Apple Watch. Do two things, please. First thing is tell us a podcast topic you would like us to discuss next week. Yep. As you saw this week,
it's either on the podcast or it's on the website.
On the website.
Just a topic. Yeah. Give us a topic.
Topic you want us to talk more about.
Yep.
And the second thing is we want you to critique our podcast. Tell us something that you love or something that you don't love so much. We take everybody's comments and critiques into consideration. So we want you guys to be honest with us and tell us what you think. So again, podcast@thealternativedaily.com. Subject line, Apple Watch. Two things. First thing, give us a topic you'd like us to discuss on the podcast or on our website. And second thing is to critique the podcast. Tell us something that you love or something that you don't love.
Yes. A lot of people actually said they liked my ukulele.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. A lot of people.
Why do you sound surprised? Jeez. I got to work on that other one. All right. So that's, thank you, Megan. That's how we win our Apple Watch. And you guys are both winners today. You guys get trophies.
Yeah, there are no losers.
There are no losers here on this podcast.
I think, Jake, you're the one that won the quiz.
I am. So the last topic that I actually want to talk about is something that Megan was pretty passionate about. She wanted to talk about it. It's actually pretty heavy in the news. I lie. You know what? There's not a lot of major news coverage. There's a lot of the alternative news outlets that are covering this. It's something extremely important. Which is that there is a toxic river flowing right now. So Megan, give us the update on what's going on with that.
Yeah, so this is terrible. In case you guys haven't seen it, on the news since about August 5th, there have been some photos of the Animas River, and it's out in Colorado. And
how do you spell that?
A-N-I-M-A-S. Animas.
Okay.
And there's some photos. It's pretty crazy if you look at these photos online of kayakers and people in this river, and it literally is the color of like honey mustard. It's like a bright yellow color. And what ended up happening, unfortunately, was the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, was actually out pumping out contaminated water at the Gold King Mine in southern Colorado. And unfortunately, as happens with massive things like this, there was a leak that sprung and 3 million gallons of heavy metal filled waste went into this area, into the Animas River and a nearby river. And as of now, it's affected, speaking of like those corner states, right, it's actually affected New Mexico, Utah, and that's Colorado terrible. As of now. And what's terrible is that they were saying that 3 million gallons is enough to fill 60,000 bathtubs full of this toxic waste. And so it's terrible because you think about not just the animals and the fish and the environment around there that depends on it, but also what's so terrible about it is that there are 45,000 people in Farmington, New Mexico, who are directly affected by this spill, because that's the water that is, you know, pumped into their community for right. everything yep. that they do. And so it's really, really scary. And it's actually a Navajo community around the town of Shiprock, which is downstream from Farmington. And these are all farms. Yeah. And these are people that rely on clean water for their crops to make money, to eat, to live, to sell to the rest of us. And so it's a pretty terrible thing that's going on right now. And it really, it's they're saying that it's going to take 90 days. That's how many days water reserves in Farmington they'll actually need to then get back to basics.
So have they stopped the leak?
So right as of now, they're working on it. They have stopped the leak, but the problem is it's just everything that's now going into the groundwater, everything around right. it. Because
they're saying it's a long-term effect. It could very much be
now. Long-term. Ralph, do you know more about this too as well?
No, not as much as what Megan just said, but I've peeked at it, and those are that's definitely one of the things that.
Well, one burning question for me is why are people still kayaking on it?
That's yeah, isn't just that weird. Interesting?
It's kind of gross. Mm-hmm. It sucks.
On vacation.
We actually gave them, you know, a couple podcasts ago, and we've talked about the website. We've given away a couple Berkey water filters.
Yeah.
I wonder if that would help. I mean, obviously, if
that's a lot of shipments we have to make.
It's a lot of shipments. Yeah, I can't afford to give away one to everybody there. But if there's a way we can help, please let us know too. You know, and if you have any other information, you know, on this, if you're near it, let us know. Podcast at thealternativedaily.com, and we'll run a story or maybe even talk to you about it. But
it's so sad because you think about like the EPA, of course, were the ones that accidentally did this. And it's like, you know, years ago when there was like the big ExxonMobil spill and all of that, everybody could point their fingers at, oh, right. this terrible corporation, they're drilling this. But this is you almost feel sorry. It's terrible. It's the people that were going in there trying to help, trying to do something right, and an accident happened. And now it's like, now they really need their jobs there because they're the ones we depend on.
You know, we here in Florida, it's not similar. It's somewhat similar, but not like that. It seems like every year when we have a lot of rain, and this actually was big about 2 years ago, was what happens is a lot of the actual farmland starts to flood. And so the streams and the rivers that are in the central Florida area, they actually have to drain out because it's flooding and killing a whole bunch of things. So what they do is they open up the locks. The locks are actually what, you know, keeps the fresh water out of the salt water. You open up the locks, all that pours in. So all that water goes down. Great, right? No, because what you happen is you actually have a flooded farmland with tons of cow manure, tons of, you know, stuff like that, byproducts. And then you also have all the pesticides and fertilizers and everything. Regardless whether side you are about the GMO side, which we all know we are, we have all that pesticides coming into the local waters that just kill a bunch of things. Dolphins were dying. And so what actually happens is now that you have all of that, you know, fecal matter from all the other farms, then you have bacteria blooms and everything. And so if people actually, I think maybe like one or two people died, if you couldn't go swimming. And here in South Florida, like everybody does everything in the water. And this is specifically in Stuart, Florida. They literally closed. There's like a whole bunch of sandbars that people go to and people go to the beach. They literally closed them for like 6 months. Like you just could not go for 6 months. And people did, obviously, and you kind of took the risk, but they just closed like beaches for 6 months, which
That's
hurt
crazy
everything.
So to do that
it sucked. And it's, you know, sometimes there's no easy answers, obviously. And sometimes there's no, you look back on what the EPA did. I'm sure they're kind of looking back and saying, hey, what could we have done better? But I mean, I don't know. Are they saying how long till they could possibly fix it? Or I mean,
they don't know that right now because it's still such a work in progress with just every, it's not even again.
What kind
right
of metals
now.
Are in there? Do we know?
Like heavy metal. It's all getting pumped contaminants from nearby mines. Mm. So obviously it brings up now a lot of questions about mining and what's right. really safe.
What are they mining for?
In these areas? Yeah. This is the Gold King mine in Colorado. So I'm not
gold?
Quite sure.
Yeah.
Is it really?
I would assume
people
so.
Still, people King still mine? Do that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
You know, if you want to get
I'm
into
very
global
naive
politics.
About I'm very naive about the mining yeah. of gold. Like,
well, it's still.
Can you still like
take
shake,
a pan?
Yeah, can you still take a pan and do
I'm
stuff
sure
like that?
Absolutely. Could.
Are you serious?
You ever? Oh, you don't watch TV.
When I was out in Alaska, Alaska, they were we were on like a river rafting trip one day, yeah. and we were going by some of these areas where they mine for coal.
Yeah,
and because it's obviously really
that.
Big out there. But they were, one of the guys was telling us that sometimes people will go out, and even as recently as like 15, 20 years ago. People were finding like massive amounts of gold and other precious metals
really?
In these areas. Yeah.
Is gold more available than diamonds? Because I know diamonds are like, there's tons of diamonds, right? I guess the De Beers family or whatever, they own all the mines. But if you look up, like, I don't know if you know this, but like diamonds aren't this rare stone, right? There's tons of them. Is gold rare? I mean, is it?
I think, and I'm not an expert in this, but I think that gold has more of an influence on the global market.
Sure. Oh, absolutely.
But it's funny that you bring up Alaska because you watch these shows and people that live in the wilderness and want absolutely nothing to do with, I guess, populated places. That's how they make their income. Some of them, they'll mine for gold. And if they need to buy anything that they need for the little house in the woods,
so it's literally people that
mine for gold real quick and trade it in town.
I've seen those shows before. Yeah. Those are crazy.
Wait, but are those legitimate shows or like Little yeah. House on the Prairie?
No, these are like reality shows that like show people that
if,
do this
for
their life.
If you currently dig for gold, please.
You don't have to dig
us.
For gold.
No, I'm saying, please email us. I would love I'd love to talk to you.
Yes. We should
we'll
have
send you whatever you want for free.
Yeah. Oh, this is. Yeah, send us some gold. I mean, is gold like what is gold really? I haven't been following like any economics.
But
of
you know,
it.
I would say that this brings up an interesting conversation because you mentioned before about the world being overall good and being an optimist. Uh-oh. But do you necessarily need to have good intentions to essentially destroy the world? You could do it by
saying.
Accident.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
You know, and as long as society consumes.
What about, every time I go to the beach, I always look at the seashells. I'm like, can't we just all just exchange seashells?
People are trying to make Bitcoin.
Yeah, Ralph, you know a little bit about that, don't you? Bitcoin?
Bitcoin?
Yeah.
I never got into Bitcoin. Only for the fact that
is it
I don't
legitimate?
Know how it's
like,
legal.
Is it going to be a currency?
They're trying to make it a world currency.
It's
I mean,
not
going to
happen.
The goal.
So basically how it works is if
you're fighting the U.S. government at that point,
if
it'll
I have
work.
Like $50,000 and I wanted virtual currency, I go somehow to, I think it was David that knows a lot about this. I give $50,000 to this server and then I now owned $50,000 equivalent in Bitcoin. And then what can I buy with that? Can I get, you know, can I buy
anywhere
an Apple Watch with
Bitcoin.
It? Can I?
Anything that accepts Bitcoins.
What, are somebody, what accepts Bitcoins?
I don't know. You'd have to ask them. Again, I was never totally into it, only for the fact that if they want to try and replace the U.S. currency, go ahead and try. It'll never happen.
Man. Do you have any uplifting stories for us?
Oh, man. I wasn't prepared.
How's your health journey going? We talked about your health journey on the podcast last week.
It's going good.
What was the hardest thing to make a change about?
Just pure lifestyle.
Yeah.
You know, and for anyone that doesn't know me, and I would assume all of you don't know me.
We all
people.
Do. We talk about
you a lot.
I lived in Manhattan for 6 years. I live in Queens now. I'm going to make the transition down here. But is that truly a lifestyle conducive?
Sure. Conducive works.
How people should be living their lives. And you kind of
learn
that.
Well, you can't say that. You can't say, even I am the biggest advocate against New York City, but there's some people that literally, they'll go to their yoga studios, they'll go to Central Park and run.
As long as you have balance under control. You know, for the longest time before I came to Alternative Daily, there was no balance. It was work, 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 and
play at night.
And play, and play, and play.
Yeah.
And then you learn that that's not a lifestyle conducive for anybody. It doesn't matter how much money you have to afford New York City. It'll never pan out.
Really?
I don't think so.
Does Derek Jeter like living in New York City?
Derek Jeter is when Ralph's you're an
big,
athlete.
Ralph's a big sports guy, so I was just kind of tossing something here I know nothing about. But to
think about this. I mean, when you're an athlete, if he didn't have balance in his schedule, do you think he would still be able to play baseball for those 20 years or 15 years
he's
or whatever
good-looking
he was
dude,
doing?
So he could probably get away with it for a little bit.
Yeah, he played for a really long time, though, but I get you.
No, so yeah, so to wrap up the Toxic River thing, if you do live around the area and you know more about it, email us. We'd love to feature
it. Maybe there's a way we can help, too.
Yeah, maybe there's a way we can help, too. Yeah,
bring some attention to it.
But don't go kayaking in it. Don't
paddleboard it. No, no. I mean, the photos are really cool, though. I mean, it's terrible, but the photos, it's like a bright yellow river.
Does it smell?
I wasn't there. I didn't ask.
Email us.
Let us know. Does it smell?
What does it smell like?
Probably not. It's not like waste.
I just think like a sulfur smell when I'm thinking about like the color of the thing, but maybe not.
And tell us any stories that you have that are under the radar.
Yeah, you know, I'm really curious. That's one of the things that we encourage you to submit your topics.
That's how you're
to the
gonna
podcast.
Win. We're gonna give you a hint to win.
Yeah, exactly.
So remember, we're giving away an Apple Watch.
That's
email
it.
Us podcast@thealternativedaily.com. Subject line Apple Watch. Give us in your email, please, two things. One, a topic you want us to discuss on the podcast or on the website. And number two, critique our podcast. Tell us something that you love or something that you don't love so that we can better serve you in the future.
Yeah. That's it.
Ralph, thank you for joining
us. Yeah, Ralph. What do you all think, right, buddy?
Now that you're going to be coming down here, we'll have you on more.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I kind of like having like the third guy in here who kind of just pipes in every once in a while. You like it?
Yeah.
Could you be like a sound guy? Could you like kind of just like look up sounds and I could kind of give you a head?
That's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking.
Full-time sound guy now.
You know, I will work to enhance the show, but I don't necessarily need a computer. It's a good break from the computer screen.
Yeah.
That's right. We're going to get you more involved.
I'm going to learn the trumpet.
We'll have like a little band.
I'm going to bring that on.
And I'll get the cymbals that are on your fingers.
What do they, belly dancers wear?
Yeah.
There's this Greek restaurant around here that they do that. It's so uncomfortable. Like a true belly dancer comes around, like belly out and everything, and they do that. And I guess it's cool, but like I'm not.
You're trying to have your Baba Ganoush in peace.
Well, the funny thing is like my parents love it. It's so weird. They're like, let's go. And I'm like, I want to eat. Like I don't want like a sweaty belly in my face.
Mr. Carney, we love you.
Oh, man. So yeah, if we want you to win, we want you guys to win the Apple Watch. One more time. How do you win it?
Email us podcast@thealternativedaily.com. Subject line Apple Watch. In the email, please tell us one topic you would like us to discuss on the podcast or on the website and critique our podcast. Tell us something that you love, something that you don't love.
Do you want Ralph next week or not?
I'll leave that up to the people listening.
That's
to
right,
this.
Ladies and gentlemen. Should Ralph continue his job?
All right. And Megan, where else can you find us?
You can find us online at www.thealternativedaily.com. If you're on social media, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Pinterest. Just search The Alternative Daily.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys very much. I'll work on that one ditty on the intro and see if I get it better, but that's what we do. So thanks, everybody. Episode 10 is a wrap, and we will good luck winning your Apple Watch, and we'll talk soon.
Bye, guys.
Take it easy.
Just have to get that in there.
One last time.